In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. True story. In the Washington, D.C. subway, a young man arrives with a violin case, opens the case, takes out an old violin, throws a little bit of change in the case as seed money, and proceeds to play for several hours. Literally, thousands of people walked by him. Only a few stopped, and never more than a few minutes did they listen. By the end of the day, his total take was less than $50. But the people passing by and throwing change, or not throwing change as the case may be, didn't know that the young man was a world-famous concert violinist whose concerts brought in $100 per ticket. Even the violin itself was a rare antique, priceless, and the music that he was playing were well-loved classical standards. The passers-by were offered a tremendous gift, and they truly passed it by. Why wouldn't someone stop to hear a great violinist play for free? Not a single person recognized the musician, and few appreciated his talent. Obviously, the subway denizens were busy. They had to go off to work or to school. But moreover, they did not expect to find a great violinist there. Had he been in a concert hall instead of a subway, had he been dressed in a tuxedo rather than jeans and a work shirt, the result might have been different. As it was, the gift was wasted. That story makes a lot of different connections with the themes and our thoughts on this Christmas Eve. Gift-giving and receiving is a long-standing Christmas tradition, frequently practiced even by people with little connection to Christianity, just showing the long reach of our faith. The tradition's origins are perhaps related to the presents that the wise men brought the Christ child, or perhaps to the fact that Jesus is God's gift to the world. Exchanging presents should be a happy event, but gift buying for many people is one of the hardest, most stressful parts of the holiday season. How do we find the perfect gift that tells someone how we feel about them? What kind of present can adequately express appreciation or friendship or love? We agonize about buying presents for those what we care about. We might even agonize more over buying presents for people that we are less than fond of. And what do you get for the person who already has everything? We can learn a lot about gift giving and the one great gift from the greatest gift giver of all, God, our Heavenly Father. God had already given humanity everything that we needed. He had given us life, one of the greatest gifts of all. And he gave and still gives everything necessary for life: food, water, shelter. There are definitely enough of those necessities to go around. God has created more than enough of them so that everyone can have all that they need. If anyone has less than they need, if anyone is in want, it is because of human greed and corruption. Don't blame poverty and such on God. Blame humanity. Precisely because humanity is blameworthy, precisely because of greed and corruption, God found it necessary to send us yet another gift, a gift that would put us right with him. That was the gift of his Son. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the greatest gift of all because he alone can unite us with God the Father and make us at one with him. How does Jesus do that exactly? Jesus is not a self-improvement program. Do you ever get gifts that seem to come with a hidden message about some area of your life where someone thinks you need to do better? I strongly suggest that you never give anyone, especially a spouse, a piece of physical exercise equipment and tell them that you are trying to help that person shape up, unless, of course, you talked about this already. I also know a man who received several bottles of cologne one Christmas and said, "Gee, I get the feeling everybody likes me very much, but nobody particularly cares for the way I smell." I'm sure he was just joking, but some people are sensitive. Jesus didn't come to teach us personal hygiene or to raise our IQs or even to make us theologians. Jesus came to die in our place and grant us God's pardon, which is our salvation. There's a kind of divine poetry in that. Adam and Eve sinned the original sin by breaking God's commandment and eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Jesus undid their sin by following God's commandments and dying on a tree called the cross, and in that way becoming our Savior, granting us new life. Now we celebrate the birth of our Savior with a Christmas tree that reminds us of the tree in life in Adam and Eve's Garden of Eden, and that will be the same tree found in the new kingdom over which Jesus, our Savior, will come again when he comes to make all things right in power and might. The bizarre thing is that not everyone recognizes Jesus as our Savior, even on this Christmas Eve in God's church. Why not? What's wrong with us? Maybe it's because Jesus comes to us incognito, like a concert violinist playing in a subway wearing scruffy clothes. Jesus was born in a simple stable and wrapped in bands of cloth. The press was not all over the birth of the Messiah, the story of a paparazzi would love, the way they're all over Prince Harry and Princess Meghan. Jesus had only shepherds to tell his story. Still, the birth of that little Jewish boy so long ago and far away teaches us all in a way that words cannot fully express, because our joy at his birth is beyond words. In our culture, etiquette tells us that we should respond to a gift with a gift or at least a thank you of some kind. How can we respond to the gift from God that is Christ? Jesus is a gift so unique and precious that any gift we could offer back to God would never be enough, even if we spent eternity saying thank you to God. God already has anything. What could we possibly give him that would matter to him? A diamond? He could make them out of coal. A star? He already has galaxies full. But, well, maybe there is just one thing. God gave us our hearts. God gave us free will. He made them, he gave them to us, and although he could do whatever he wanted with them, he has imposed a strict hands-off policy on himself regarding them. He lets us do with them whatever we please. We can give our hearts and our allegiance to whomever or whatever we want without interference from God. But God wants them. Oh, how he wants them. God won't force us to love him, but he truly wants our love. Once there was a young woman I loved. On Christmas Eve 40 years ago, I wanted to tell her how I felt about her, so I gave her a ring and I asked her to marry for me. for some reason I'll never understand except God's grace, she said yes. The ring, of course, wasn't my love. It was only a symbol of my love. And I'd have to assume that she must have loved me, not the ring, because it really wasn't that great a ring. Melanie later said, I took a real chance proposing on Christmas Eve. She said, it really would have been awkward had I said no. But love takes chances. God's gift to us is similar but different. Jesus is God. He is God's love. God gives himself to us. He can do that. If we love the Son, we love the Father. If we love the baby in the manger, we must love the agonized man on the cross too. God took a real chance sending Jesus. Don't let God's precious gift to you be wasted. Don't pass Jesus by unnoticed. Don't make Christmas awkward and meaningless by rejecting Jesus. When we think about Christmas deeply, the present of Christ himself is what gives us faith. And we can accept that gift, or so it feels to us, but it's really God creating faith in us by word and sacrament. So it's all absolutely about him and not so much about us. And we get lost in the divine mystery that is so confusing and convoluted that we would be totally confounded. Except that it's all joy and wonder. So we really don't care because it's all so great. That is Christmas. Does that make sense? If it doesn't totally, then you're perfectly normal. Maybe Christmas can't be explained adequately in prose. Only poetry will do. Try this from the poem, In the Bleak Midwinter. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. What can I give him? Give him my heart. God loves us and has saved us by sending us his Son. We can love him in return and give him our hearts. Merry Christmas. Amen.